forgiveness. It's been the subject of almost everything that you've heard in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Forgiveness can be so exceptionally difficult, and probably never more than when it's commanded. And Jesus commanded it. Unless you forgive your brother, your sister, from your heart, I will treat you likewise. Gosh. I know there's occasional moments of warm-hearted forgiveness where we overlook someone's slight, minor situation. Maybe they snubbed us a little bit and the independent and ignored us, or we were walking by and they just looked at us and didn't smile. Oh, I'll forgive them. You know? Yeah, we've been known to do that, haven't we? And sometimes spontaneously, when there's somebody who's really messed up, although it was accidental, but they still bugged us. Oh yeah, sometimes there will be forgiving if they're contrite. If they'll admit what they did was wrong, then okay, I'll condescend and I'll forgive you. Does that sound at least a bit familiar at all in anything you may have done or I have done? Of course it does. But I think Jesus is going deeper than that today. That would be the minimum, wouldn't it? Just forgiving fellow brothers and sisters when they give us a slight bugus a little bit. But I think Jesus is saying, when things get really hurtful, those times when a person seems not only inappropriate action against us, but they don't even feel contrite. You can sense that they're not taking responsibility for what they did to you. Well, that hurts, right? That gets in there. And they don't apologize, so that even adds to it more. They don't seem to grab at all the nature of what they've done to you. And they really wound over time. And you remember them. And I think some of us will say that we have been deeply wounded by people, by their deeds. And truthfully, unless you're forgiven, they never go away. I can go back, I'm afraid, to my family way back on Ross Street when I was just a kid. When my big brother treated me like I was nobody. And I worshipped him. He was my big brother. You know, wow. He was my hero, and he was. He was good at baseball. I wasn't even into baseball yet. Yeah, he was good. But there was a time when I just, go away, little kid. And I hurt. Because I knew other people like my brother. And I wanted to hang out there with my brother, be part of that. You know. And he did what big brothers do. He lost it. But I could give you others, but so could you. It may have started when the earliest years that you can remember with your brothers and your sisters. It could have happened a whole lot of different ways. And there are things, whether it's father or a mother, an uncle or an aunt, a brother or a sister, a neighbor across the street or the neighbor beside you or the one behind you, how easy it is to just keep that resentment and not forgive. It's hard. So here we have Peter in this scripture. Peter says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brothers when they have sinned against me? Now, I don't know the circumstances exactly going up to this story. You know, was there one that just bugged him a lot and he kept saying, okay, I'll forgive you, and then eventually blew his top? I don't know. We don't know. It doesn't matter. But it was not. What was important was he said this generous statement he thought. He says, 7 times should I forgive them? Now, get this. You know, the truth is, apparently, I mean, I'm doing what all of us pastors have to do. We study a little bit into the culture of the day. And apparently, if you were going to be a good, capable Jewish man or woman, you would forgive three times. And you were supposed to mean it three times. And then after that, the heck with it. I forgive you enough, right? So you can imagine Peter, and I love this guy. We often say, what a guy he is. Right? So he looks at the situation and he says, so then I should forgive him seven times? No, he really meant that. He's like, that's how generous we're supposed to be? Twice as much as the tradition. So I guess he's looking for a, wouldn't you think? No, would that be not what he was really, look at me, right? Could you imagine how the shock would have been when his brother Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. I think that Pete would have gone, what? But that's the issue. You see, Jesus is a whole different culture. He says, forget what you've been brought up with as a Jewish person. Forget what you've been brought up as a brother and sister in a Christian community. This is what I want to teach you. 70 times 7 is what forgiveness is all about. In other words, if you use that combination of 70 and 7, you realize forever. That's what that means, doesn't it? Wow. Under what conditions do we forever forgive? Well, I don't know. There's a heck of a lot of times to forgive people. So Jesus then extrapolates a parable. Interesting parable. And it really intensifies the response that he gave to Peter. 70 times 7. It's a big deal. There's a real contrast, isn't there, in this story. This one person owes the master. In modern language, they did like you would do, study and find out what does the term mean of the day. And today it would be the equivalent of $1 million. You have a few $1 million, like you've got a burden on your head, right? You're expected to pay it back, and there's not a chance in heck you're going to do it. But that's how much that servant owed his master. $1 million. Not a chance in heck he's ever going to pay it back. And what does the master do? He does the normal thing. Hey, you owe me money, pay me. Reasonable request if you're the master. Or if anybody. I expect to get paid. I gave it to you. However, the guy dropped to his knees and begged for mercy. And did the master say, nope, you got to serve at least 20 years in jail. Then I might consider it. No. Scriptures, Matthew records that in the parable that Jesus was teaching at that moment, he said to him, forget it. It's over. You don't owe me anything. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. God's gift, if you will, if you want to use the who the master is, of course, transcends into what Jesus was trying to help us with. So there we have it. How much has that person been forgiven? How little that same person refuses to give to a fellow servant who owes him the denarius. Do you know what they suggest in the scriptures, the equivalent? Well, $15. You know, like a very small amount of money in modern days. But he didn't have it, and he throws him into prison. It seems hard to imagine, doesn't it, that a person who has just been given so much could not turn around and show mercy to someone else. It's no small debt, that $1 million. How could he possibly overlook what he's just been given? Now, work on it yourself right this moment. Just think about that, the comparisons. I was forgiven $1 million. No strings attached. And then he goes to this other person who owes him money. And basically says, pay me or else. And it was a very small amount. He could have easily given this thing mercy received. So then we know what the scripture says at the end. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart, you will not be forgiven. How could you or I ever be able to forgive the way the king gives in this parable? Now think about it. How could you ever forgive the way the king did? You know what? When you think about it, at least today, the Lord is working with me to help me grasp this concept. We are expected to be like the master. You say, well, yes. No, he's God. God. God has the power and the understanding to forgive even the toughest debt that you and I have done against him. He's God. And that's what God does. God forgives. He sent his only son so that we would be forgiven at the time that we go and stand before our master and be judged. We're going to be judged perfectly. Perfect. We will have nothing. No regrets, because God has already paid the price. That's our generous God. So do you think we're expected, if you look at this parable, are we expected to be like God? Well, in principle, maybe we don't have to. Maybe we should identify with the servant with a massive debt. Think about it. Do you have a massive debt? I do. But I want to go back into my history, which I'm not going to. You know, I've never been a terribly bad guy. I'm not trying to impress you and say, oh yeah, you know, I raped and pillaged and robbed banks. I didn't. I'm not suggesting that. Okay? But I am saying that there's sins I know I did that I regret. Shouldn't have done. Could you admit that? Don't ask. I'm not asking you. I'm just saying, could you admit that at some point along your life, you put you first and not somebody else? Did you take advantage of somebody at some point? Maybe. I don't know. But the point is, if we identify with the servant who had that massive debt, maybe we would get the true story of what Jesus was trying to talk to those disciples about that day. When we've been forgiven, now we have. You're sitting in this pew today, right? Now there might be, and I'm not going to deny this. Sometimes I take for granted we're all made a decision for Christ. Maybe I shouldn't. But the truth is, if you have, then you are forgiven. You see what I'm getting at? It's already a done deal. We're going to do a celebration of what that's all about. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion shortly. And that's all about God's wonderful gift. Completely removing us from any of the consequences, but of the ultimate penalty. Jesus did it all. So the problem that I'm getting at is, if we identify with that person who was given complete reconciliation, completely with the master saying, you're forgiven. The failure of that servant is what bugs me about me, maybe about you. Maybe you are still harboring some regrets that people did against you. Maybe you really haven't cleared it up yet, even to this day. Well, the parable is, at that moment, this man was given a totally unexpected, completely beyond the wildest dream he ever had. He never anticipated ever paying back $1 million. He didn't know how he would ever do it. And that life-changing moment when the guy says, it's over, forgotten, gone. Take it off your shoulders. You don't owe me another penny. I've paid it. It's done. Can you imagine how that person would suddenly feel? He couldn't. Wow! It's over? Life-changing moment of grace. Life-changing moment of mercy. And yet it appears in the scripture that absolutely he was untouched by the mercy that he was granted. He himself just turned right around and rushed over to another guy that owed a few bucks and went after him. Well, the point I'm getting at is, are you and I like that? I see, that's what Jesus wants us to ponder on this very Sunday, this day, in this church. This same scripture is being pondered in churches all across the world on this day. That's what the format is. So many times when people use a lectionary format, they get the same passage all over the nation, all over the world. So there's people struggling with the same thing as you and I are. Have we really come to grips with what we have received from God's greatest gift, his Son? Do we still treat people that have let us down as unforgiving? It's God's gift. You are forgiven. I am forgiven. It's mercy. It's grace. Undeserved. But I've got to tell you, I'm thankful. Because I believe it. I know you do too. If you've made a decision for Jesus, you know exactly what we're talking about here. It doesn't matter whatever you did. It doesn't. Absolutely unequivocal. It might be $1 million. Don't matter. Forgiveness is possible if we're not stubborn. If we will not be like the servant who had just been forgiven $1 million, and then he turns right around and goes after somebody else with no mercy. So how can you and I know the truth? We are forgiven everything, and truly are, and not extend the same grace and mercy to others. Does it mean that they'll accept it? No. It's not your responsibility. You can truly forgive, and I mean it. You can genuinely from your heart, as the scripture says today, you can forgive. Now, the other person may not, and I don't need it anyways. I didn't do enough bad enough to deserve your forgiveness. You know, you're trying to be sanctimonious, you're trying to be self-righteous. You know all the potential there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let it go. They can live with whatever kind of attitude they want about your willing to truly forgive. But what's really important is it is true. You have forgiven from your heart, no matter how the response is from the other. And you're released completely. You've done what the scriptures asked us to do. What I'm really sharing with you this morning, if we don't, we maintain the burden on us until we die. That's a burden. We can't live free unless we let it go. Does the other person have to accept it? It'd be nice if they did. It'd be wonderful if they did. But if they don't, it doesn't matter. What is important is when you forgive from the heart, God knows. He knows what you're doing. He knows the truth of what you have done. So, things don't always have to be the way they are. On the state, things don't always have to remain the same as they are. And so this morning, if you've got, if I've got, a burden against someone who I know, and I let it go this morning in this spot, then it's over. They will no longer remain the same. The other person may or may not accept it, irrelevant, but your life will have been changed. Completely. So it's a choice you've got to make, to choose to forgive or choose not to forgive and let things remain under the tension, the
the challenges, the hurt, and the pain that we live with. So we have a choice. You and I have a choice. We can make a difference in our lives effective today. And hopefully effective with the others. You know, truthfully, I mean, that's what we would love, to have the whole reconciliation complete. That may happen. Probably, likely will, actually. Because God's part of the process. It's part of God's gifts. But if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Well, probably a bad choice. Yes, it does matter. It matters bringing it to you. It's over. The burden is lifted from your shoulders. You're free. You've been granted a new life. Forgiveness sets you free. It also heals you. I felt it. I know the feeling. Can you let somebody go? Well, I have to tell you something. We've talked about it, Barb and I, once. Now, I had to forgive my dad for dying when I was 12. I was mad as heck. I was furious. Not because he was just my best bud. He was a good man. But it wasn't long before we went into abject poverty. We went from okay middle, lower class, if you will, to nothing. We had no income, nothing. And I had to live that way in a high school environment when you're going to high school and you're not cool because you don't have the coolest clothes or you don't whatever. You couldn't go to a father and son banquet, you know, because I didn't have dad. Yeah, I was resentful. But that was just an example that I'm sharing with you. Eventually, 2 years later, I was reconciled. Hallelujah. Peace. So I'm just saying to you, I don't know what it is that's holding you back. But your decision to forgive today, this morning, will heal you. So, what have you got that you might want to offer quietly this morning? To forgive. Now you can say, well, I'm going to postpone that day. We'll talk about it next week or tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Or you can do it now. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's up to you. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He's always open to your suggestions when you're ready, but if today is the day, why not? Don't overlook the fact that God absolutely loves you. Your forgiveness is complete for anything you have ever done. Maybe we need to extend that forgiveness to people that we've been harboring for too long a grudge. And in some cases, believe it or not, they don't even know it. That's the worst part of it. So, in conclusion, God's forgiveness for us and the forgiveness that you can give creates absolute, utter peace. Complete healing. So if you're in a world that seems to be having a heck of a time forgiving, Putin decides the way to forgive is to line up troops against the Baltic states and take on NATO. The way that the guy in Korea, North Korea, decides is to line up a bomb and try to blast us to smithereens. Palestinians want to kill the Israelis. Blacks in the States are mad as heck at what's going on with the white guys. The white guys are mad as heck at what's going on with the black guys. In Canada, we got Indians who are not being treated properly, and it's mutual disrespect for each other. We just don't know how to forgive. So in the world that we're in, where forgiving seems so desperately needed, maybe it starts with you and me. Maybe it just starts with one person, you and me. The word of grace. Forgiveness given. And you will see. Life will be better. God promises. Jesus confirms it. Father God, I do ask that we pause at this moment, just to reflect at the moment. Let your word work on us. Let your teaching work on us. Who can we forgive this moment even if the other persons don't even care. Lord, help us this moment to reflect on who needs to be forgiven by